Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Our God is doing mighty works in the earth. The enemy has a scheme, but God has a living plan. We talked about last week how we need to get in on the plan of God. You do so by trusting him, being saved through Jesus Christ. And not only just get saved and do the best you can, but study his word until it becomes part of your heart. Put it in your heart. And when you need faith, you'll have it. Faith comes from hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith comes from receiving God's word in your heart. What will happen when you're in the same situations that would normally bother you and frustrate you, you will find yourself standing strong, having courage, no fear. You'll have a mind to do the best things, make the best choices for yourself. But there are many hindrances. The enemy tries to infiltrate the church with bad understanding, wrong teaching, wrong knowledge, wrong influences. And the only way to combat it is to have the word of God planted deep in your heart. As we receive God's word in our heart, we have something to help us stand when we hear wrong information. And without a word base in your heart, without having God's word in your heart, everything seems good. Wrong things can seem right. Even though you've been born again, even though your spirit's been made right, been clean and made over, there are traps and death in every wrong situation. God didn't say, there were two trees in the garden. God didn't say, he said you could eat off any tree except for the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He didn't call it the tree that looks bad and it looks like it'll kill you. He called it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because when Satan lied to you, and everything he does, it always looks good. It looks dressed up. But when you eat of the fruit of his lies, that which truly look good, it ends in death. He said, the fruit of this tree, you should not eat of it. For the day you do, you should surely die. And he called it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil represents all that Satan stands for. It is totally opposite of the heart of God. And all Adam had to do is leave that tree alone. But he didn't. The enemy came up with situations and he ate off that tree. The woman was deceived, but he willfully ate off that tree. Now, it's important that we don't eat off that tree in our lives. To us, the tree is a metaphor. Now, this was a real living tree that God made. It had a purpose, and it was supposed to be left alone. It represented Satan's works and his lies and his deceit and his ways. It's a metaphor to us, but it was real to Adam. So when Satan comes to you, his lies look real good and dressed up, and it looks like it'll work, it feels like it'll work, but if you eat off of it, you die. I gave the analogy last week when people live alternate lifestyles, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, being a robber, being a thief, liars. That's not of God. And to say nothing about it and not give people fair warning, people would get trapped by that iniquity. It all looks good until you do it. And then you become trapped by it. And some people want to get out of these situations that they've gotten themselves into. But it weakens your will. It weakens your strength. You feel trapped. You feel fear. Everything that's antichrist, that's what you feel. Because the love of God is powerful. Faith in God is powerful. Peace is powerful. Joy is powerful. Courage is powerful. Fear is weakness, and it creates weakness. Unbelief is weakness. It causes you to disconnect from God by your own choice. Unbelief is rejection. Doubt is a disabler. It disables your faith. It makes you feel like you can't go any further. And pride always looks within. It's an illusion that you have the answers you need to govern your whole life. But faith looks to God, which is unlimited. If you can live by your faith, there's nothing you can't do. If you're willing to do your part, God is willing to do his part always. So there's really nothing you can't do without faith. We put the cap on what we can do. And all the promises of God are yours, truly yours. But you can only receive it according to the way you measure God's word. But as you receive God's word, you become more capable of operating in God's word. And every victory you have, your vision increases. You can see yourself doing greater things. I asked the Lord, what's your definition of vision? He said, vision is developed faith. It's faith. It's when you can operate in faith in a developed stage. Your faith is developed, not weak. Or you can say vision is strong faith, skilled faith, developed faith. Think about a baby boy. He's a male. He's got all the parts of a male. He's got arms and legs, but he's not developed. Now think of a weightlifter, a man that works every day and works and governs his life. He's developed. He's a developed man. Vision is developed faith. So when you have vision, you can see yourself doing what God said you can do. And before you get to that point, as you act on the word in faith, you're going to find yourself doing things that you normally couldn't do. Now all these wonderful things, they don't apply to those who live an alternate lifestyle, who continually eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's dangerous. And I gave the analogy, if all the preachers that say nothing about homosexuality, fornication, adultery, and all the other idolatry, you know, all the other things is just wrong. They're like dumb dogs. They're silent when they should be barking. If you had a pit bull in your yard, and the thief came to steal your car and he didn't bark, you'd want to get rid of that dog. Or all the preachers that say nothing about sin and don't give people fair warning, they're like dumb dogs. Isaiah said they were dumb dogs. They're silent when they should be barking. To say nothing is to act like nothing's going to happen. And I know for a fact, if people don't change their ways, they will go to hell. And if they go, everybody to go to hell, they go unnecessarily. Jesus made provisions for you. You're just going to have to believe his word and act on it. And every religion that say that you can go to God without Jesus is a lying religion. And it can't help you. I love all people. I love Muslims. I love Jews. I love everybody. Jesus died for every soul on earth. And I'm not going to give you an illusion that everything's going to be all right. You try to go to heaven without Jesus, you will not go. It's important. Life is too short and it's very important. Your life is valuable. And we need to treat it so. Now, the enemy's trying to play everybody. He's trying to play everybody. Don't be played by Satan. If you go to hell, he will laugh at you. He will mock you. He will hurt you. He will torture you. Not just him, his demons. People under his rule will do that. You'll know the truth at that point, and he will mock you. It's not funny. It's not funny to me. I don't want people to go to hell. If they go to hell, they went for nothing. And you cannot go without Jesus Christ. That's just the way it is. And sweet people, wonderful people that could be serving God for real are missing out because of dumb dogs, preachers that won't bark, They're silent when they should be barking. They're silent when they should be telling the truth. Jesus said you can't serve God and money, so I wouldn't try it. Do it God's way, and he'll make provisions for you. You can't know God unless you trust him. You got to take him at his word. Now, in marriage, we were talking about how 1 Peter will help you in every relationship. It will help you in business. It will help you repair your relationships. It will help you understand people and be a blessing for them. Now, as I obeyed the teachings of Jesus, he said, "Love, do unto others you will have them do unto you." So I said, I'm not just going to read that and ignore it. I'm going to do this. And every time I ever made progress, I always committed myself to do what he said. I said, I'm going to do this. I may not be good at it, but I'm going to learn this and I'm going to do this. And this was before I used to ask the Lord why and get more information, because I was just getting started. But I promise you, as I obey God, I read the scripture where he said, turn the other cheek. If a man wants your coat, give him your coat. I said, I'm going to do this. I don't understand why he said it. I really didn't like it. But I said, because he said it, I'm going to do this. I endeavored to do these things. And in obedience to him, that's living by faith, I learned more than I saw. And I found out that because I kept those principles, even though I was not a trained businessman, I got better at it. And my business started working. When I was in my 20s, I started my first business. I was a real good mechanic, but not a good businessman, because I just didn't know how to do business. But I learned business from obeying Jesus. Now, in marriage, it works the same way. Now, when many people who are married, when they get in a disagreement, an argument, if you do what 1 Peter said, you can hear your spouse better. Now, there's a lot of information on this file. 15 minutes will be on this radio broadcast, but there's 30 minutes. So go to newlivingletters.com and you can hear the rest that God wants to give you. newlivingletters.com. Write it down and tell your friends, and you can listen to it at your will. Thank God for that. Thank God for technology. That's why he gave it. But last week I talked about how if you record what's being said in an argument and you wait till you come and listen to it, you'll find out that what you want and what your spouse wants are usually, it makes sense and it's in range of what both of you want. But when you're defensive, you can't hear the other person. You can't hear what they're trying to relay to you in from their heart. And neither can they hear what you're saying. But I shared what I did one time. My wife and I, we would go back and forth about the way I work sometime. I said, write down how you expected marriage to be. And I said, I'm going to do the same thing. So she wrote down what she expected. I wrote down what I expected. And when I read it, we were so similar in what we desired. But the way we were raised was different. And I could see, I came from a family that worked a lot. My daddy worked at U.S. Pipe, and he pastored 3 churches out of town. It was normal for me to go above and beyond in my work. The way she was raised was different. It wasn't negative, but different. I said, to her, my working a lot was overwhelming. So I had to learn, find ways to tone what I did down. I looked at my life circumspectly, like I was talking about last week. I said, I got to make some changes. She's right. But in the argument, I couldn't hear it. But on paper, I could see the differences, and we were able to go further. It will always, the word of God works, but you got to love your spouse, and you actually got to put them first, and you got to seek to serve them. Don't think that just because they do what you want them to do, you're going to be satisfied in life. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So if you're trying to serve your spouse, and eventually they'll try to serve you, but there's a fulfillment in just serving people. I didn't know that till I started doing it. Who knows? God's word works. Don't miss out on God's best. Now, if two people are serving each other and hearing each other, they help each other grow. And they will be the envy of the neighborhood. They will be the envy of the family. And they will be the vision of the future for the future generations. Because all your nieces and nephews, friends, they'll see it. When they see a good marriage and they see you doing the work of God, they're going to want in. And not only will they want in, they will want all in. See, when a man gets saved, he's saved, he's in the kingdom of God. But his marriage may not be in the kingdom of God. It may still be somewhere between earth and hell. But when both people start doing the work, when one person starts doing the word of God, the marriage starts entering the kingdom of God. And it starts looking like the scriptures suggest. It starts looking like what the scriptures say you could have. It starts looking like God's best. Because God's best is his love towards you. We love God because he first loved us. But we can't see all the wonderful ways of God until we act on them. God loves us and his love don't change. His love makes your life stronger and stronger and stronger. The devil is the one trying to play us. You got to understand, you are under attack. The enemy is trying to get you back to the world through lust or pride or greed. Lust, pride, or greed. Those are the things that make up the world. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If he can't get you in pride or greed, he'll try to get you in anger and bitterness, unforgiveness. Things that cut you off from God. Because God can't forgive us unless we forgive everybody. Just like we want God to forgive us, and I do want God to forgive me because I've done some very shoddy things throughout my life. Well, especially before I became a Christian. I've done things I'm not proud of. I wish I didn't do them. But he forgave me of that. So I forgive others that do me wrong. And I learned not to even get mad at them. And I would speak with my mouth that I love everybody. No matter how I'm treated, I love them. And I will represent God to everybody. And I will not be a dumb dog. I will warn you. I want you to know Jesus paid a high cost for you to smile in your face and act like he didn't so that you won't get mad at me is way out of the question. I would not be a dumb dog. And there were times that I was a dumb dog. I should have barked and I didn't. I was silent. But see, the beauty of repentance is as you grow, you can do better. Because you grow in courage. I didn't always have the courage to be a barking dog. A preaching preacher. Then there were stages where I would hit and miss. I want to do all of God's will. I want to represent him totally. Because I want to live in his presence. I like living in his presence. And everybody needs to know that they can go to God and get counsel. He can talk to you one-on-one. He can help you. And the Lord has a beautiful way of getting his word across to you. He'll tell me something personally, and then he'll confirm it through others. And then sometimes other people will say things that he want me to know, and I never would have asked him about it for 1,000 years. Because everybody is important. Everybody has something that they can learn from God that no other man on earth will learn. So when people tell me things that the Lord has shared with them, it makes me all the more excited to see who else is going to say something. And you don't have to be old to do this. You just have to be saved. You just have to love God. People that love God learn the most. People who are selfish learn the least. People who are full of pride don't learn from God. You're going to go from wherever you were when you met Jesus and you're going to grow in life, and you're going to find yourself doing the same things that he did. You're going to find yourself loving people that you used to not like. And sometimes you'll find yourself caring about and loving people that you used to hate. The enemy is trying to play everybody. He tried to divide the races and breed misunderstanding among the races. He tried to make people feel like other races are evil people. No, no. Every race on this planet is God's creation, and they are beautiful people. I asked a guy one time, I said, would you want to live on the earth if everybody was black? He said, no. I said, well, what if everybody was white? He said, no. He got to thinking. Asian people are wonderful people. Latin people are wonderful, beautiful people. White people are wonderful, beautiful people. And black people are wonderful and beautiful people. And when everybody has a voice and something to say. People from every corner of the world, they have a story to tell. And the enemy is trying to play every one of us and pit us against each other. And when you have a, see, when you're married, you have a living relationship. The enemy don't like that. Because a man and a woman is the best idea. It works. They're married. They're one. They have children. They have a family unit that's to be desired. And if their life is working, Satan don't want that, because that gives people hope. He's trying to crush our hope. He's trying to crush the hope of the next generation. And the devil's doctrine is real simple. It says, do what you feel like doing. Do what you feel is right. You are God. He's lying to you. The Lord gave us, when God gave us instructions, his word, he gave us his best commandments. His commandments love us. His commandments love you in the best situation. All the commandments of God is designed to get you in the center of his perfect will, so that you can make the same good choices he does. So that you can create your very own universe, so to speak. In other words, in your life, you're going to be like him. And everything that you put your hands to can prosper. And eventually, your children will have children. And your children's children will have children. And you're going to become a house. You're going to become a tribe. And the way you are now, you're going to see traces of that forever in your offspring. And the faster you learn God's ways and do it, the more developed your house will be. See, God has a living order. The enemy don't want you to know this. He's trying to hide things from you. He got us focusing. He tried to get us focusing on right now. What do you want right now? Because we can't see through time like God can. He's been to heaven before. He knows what things are going to turn into if you obey God. And he's trying to hide that from society. So he develops all these traps and all this sin, and it's in the music, it's in the movies. I don't watch vile movies. If it's rated R, I'd rather not watch it now. Sometimes I like to see the story, but all the vulgar stuff they put in, they can keep it. I don't want that. If all you take in your heart is misery, how in the world do you think your life is going to turn out like God's life? Satan is trying to destroy your hope and get you to feel like there's no way out. You might as well do what you want to do and have whatever fun you can have. At anybody's expense you can. Your life is going to be short, and you ain't going to live long anyway. And God don't love you. That's his message. All of it is a lie. God loves you. It's not what you can do for him. He loves you for you. But those are concepts that seem so far off to people that have been raised in misery. He loves everybody. And then people, he tell people to be mad at him because he loves their enemies. God loves our enemies because he loves us. We've been his enemies. And he died for us while we were his enemies. The religious leaders tried to stop Jesus from being Christ. He came to his own and they received him not. And then they wanted the Romans to murder him, have him killed. But he laid his life down for us and everybody who believes. He paid a high cost to get you in the center of God's will, healthy, wise, prosperous, eternal life. He paid a high cost so that you would have the right to live like him, with him. And if you reject that, you reject your future. If you reject Jesus Christ, you also simultaneously reject your future and the influence you would have for your own offspring. And you're troubling your house if you don't get saved. Even if everything's going your way and you have children, you feel like you don't need God, you're prospering. Your prosperity at its best is nothing compared to what you will gain as you obey God. Don't you know millionaires commit suicide? Things can't make you happy, and the praise of man can't either. If you become a millionaire, you're going to have a lot of people that want to be your friend because they think they can help you. And then you have some people who truly are your friend. And then the devil say, well, they just want your money. And there are people who love you and the enemy, he always try to divide you from those that love you the most and those that are out for your best interest.